Sending up a bid before. I said loosen and then tighten. Okay. All right. Hopefully it's going to stay there. All right. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We've been trying to go over the practical path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after identifying that the best thing we can get to, that we should try to make it the goal of our life, make sure that in everything that we do, we have this objective in life, that we want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to reach a stage where we actually meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to see Him with the eyes of the heart, of course, not with these eyes that we have in our head. We want to see Him with our hearts, which nothing, any other goal, any objective, especially the lowest of the low, anything that's related to the material world, none of that is worth anything. All of that comes to an end. All of that comes to an end very, very easily and very quickly. We want to make sure that we don't set those very low standards for the goals of our life. We want to make sure we have the highest standard. We want to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way to do that is to serve Him, is to obey Him, is to listen to His instructions and make that how we're going to live our lives, inshallah. We mentioned that one of the very important responsibilities that we have in order to get there, in order to strengthen that in us, to accept God as our master and realize and come to the conclusion that we are His slaves, we are really having nothing of ourselves, the only thing that we have is what God has given, and it still remains God's. Everything is in fact the property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to come to that realization, and part of that is worship, the prayer specifically, and we talked about that. And then we said also, in our interactions with people, with those around us, with our family members, with our parents, with our spouses, with our children, that also has an impact. Everything in fact that we do in life has or can have an impact on our lives. It can definitely have a positive impact on our lives, but sometimes it can have a very, very negative impact in our lives. And we got to make sure we adjust our lifestyles, our decision making, our behavior the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have love for Him, if you want to move towards Him, then fattabi'uni, the Holy Prophet says, God tells him to tell the people, this is a verse of the Holy Quran, then follow me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have love for you. Okay. So we're trying to do that. We talked about parents and children. We kind of had to rush and finish that yesterday, because the time is running short. We want to touch on a couple other topics as well, to at least get us to think. A lot of times the problem we have is ghafla. We're negligent. We don't realize there could be some very, very wrong things in what we're doing, and we don't even see it. So we want this this reminder to try to open our eyes, an eye-opener, wake us up. So that's why we want to touch on a couple other topics as well. The first one that we want to do is, again, in the context of family, one thing that's very, very important is marital life. Okay, the relationship of the spouses, husband and wife. This is an area that we have some very, very serious problems, cultural problems, that we've developed certain cultures, no matter what part of the world we are, whether we're from the West or the East. There are certain cultures that have been developed, certain personal characteristics and qualities that we have developed in our behavior that many times create problems. The problem of marriage in today's context, in the world that we live in, again, whether it's the East or the West, the rate of divorce, for instance, is on the rise throughout the globe. It's not just in the West either. It is a problem that's out here, but it exists elsewhere in the world as well. Family life is not, unfortunately, it's not on the rise. We're not moving towards a better family relationship, unfortunately, but things are falling apart unless we change it, and we can do so if we listen to the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah. One thing, I will start with a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in regards to the relationship between men and women as spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Okay. We have created you. This is one of those very impressive. All the verses of the Holy Quran are very impressive. They contain a lot of information, but some more than others. This is one of those concise verses that contains a world of knowledge. A world of knowledge. We can't cover all of it, of course. What he says is that, I'll start with this. He says, we have created you as pairs, as azwaj, litaskunu ilayha, so that each party, each pair, husband and wife, they can come together and reach tranquility and calmness. Right, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the two genders. You're supposed to be able to come together, join, and this coming together and joining and forming a family is supposed to be, and God has created it such that it causes one to reach tranquility. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And I have, or he has, he says, he has created mawaddah, love, affection between you, wa rahmah, and mercy. He has put that, the feeling of mercy. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran. This is how he has created us. But I have a question. Is that really the case? Is it such that when families come together, when the partners join, husband and wife, they reach tranquility? Is that really the case in most of our marriages? Is that something? Tranquility, calmness. Sometimes there's a lot of worries. Sometimes the wife gets very worried when the husband wants to come back from work. They enjoy it when the husband is not around. The children, sometimes, God forbid, the relationship is such that they feel good. Dad's not home right now. We're comfortable. Okay, we're enjoying it. then daddy's coming home. He'll be back in 15 minutes or in 10 minutes, and that's not a good scene. Sometimes the husbands, oh no, I'm going back home. I got to deal with the wife again. What is she going to tell me this time? I'm 10 minutes late, or this, or that, or she's going to be telling me how much we need such and such. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And so on and so forth. There's no tranquility. There's worry. One is very worrisome sometimes to meet one's spouse. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not how I've created you. The way I have created you is that between you, when you come together, there's supposed to be sukoon, there's supposed to be tranquility and calmness. You have to feel good. You're coming home, or my husband's coming home. You should be waiting, counting the minutes to get home out of the world that's out there. Now I'm coming back home. This is where I feel comfortable. Without my husband, I don't feel as comfortable. I'm waiting, counting the minutes. I'd like to have him back home. All right. Sometimes people have mixed feelings. They hate his guts, but they can't live without him either. And vice versa. You know, that's the type of relationship that kind of forms. They are away for a while, like, okay, we can't do without her. Then they're at home, I can't live with her either. Can't live with her, can't live without her. Can't live with him, can't live without him. Okay. This is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us the life should be. It's supposed to be sukuna. If tranquility is not there, something's wrong. If I don't feel affection towards my wife or towards my husband, there's something wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and put this in us. He has prepared us so that we may have this type of relationship. Right? But it doesn't mean that whatever we do, it's going to be like that. It's not like the material world. No matter what you do, mass is going to have gravity. You can't take that gravity away from it, all right? You can't decide that I want to act a certain way and there's not going to be any gravity. The gravity can be there. Maybe you can use, you know, a force that's going to counter that and allow you to float somehow. But you're not going to get rid of gravity. Gravity is there. But the tranquility is not something that's going to be there regardless of our actions. There are certain things that we are supposed to do, certain things that we're supposed to stay away from in order to keep it and give us that feeling of tranquility. Recite a salawat, please. So I want to go over a few points related to the family from the Holy Quran and the Ahadith. First point, very important. Very important. We mentioned this before in regards to Qat'ur Rahim and Silatur Rahim. And we said that we're going to be talking about it. And this is where we're doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made different laws, has given us different instructions to make sure that when a family forms, it keeps together. Divorce is not something that is good. Separation, living away from one another, living separately, supporting the children separately, that's not something that is good. Islam does not like that. There's plenty of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put there for this to happen. And sometimes we're looking for means to go against that. One of them I mentioned briefly before, I'll repeat that and I'll add something to it. And that is, this is one of the reasons why divorce is given, the authority for divorce is given to only one party, not to both parties. In Islam, it's not like at any point, husband or wife can say, you know what, I've had enough of this. Divorce. He has put that there because it's important for it to be there. Sometimes that life is not going to work. Sometimes it needs to be broken up. But that's been given to one party who is less emotional and less of his decisions are made on emotions. That's the party that divorce has been given to. So that, as we can see, in areas, in countries where the divorce is given to the husband and laws are not made to give that to another party as well, you see less divorces happening. And as soon as this idea is introduced that the women also get to freely divorce their husbands, then you see a lot more divorces happening. Okay. A lot more divorces happening and the family falling apart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want that. Now what we're doing sometimes is that we are trying to, the sisters, thinking that this is going to protect them. Listen to God, it's not going to protect you. Sometimes people want to put that condition in the marriage. Like, okay, God didn't give me this, but let me get the power of attorney from this guy. I'll only marry you if you put this line in there that I will have the right to divorce. On your behalf, okay, it doesn't matter. I have attorney. I don't have independently the right to divorce, but I will have attorney to divorce you anytime I wish. Like, is that problematic? Technically, based on fiqhi reasoning, the mujtahideen have said there doesn't seem to be a problem with putting that clause. It needs to be worded right. There may be certain things that need to be put in there. It's possible, but is that something that God wanted? He could have put that in there. He wants the family to keep together and stay together. It's not a good idea for families to live separately, to be divorced, and the children have to deal with that. A lot of the problems in societies is because of the family structure being destroyed. The parents not being there to care for the children together. You can't have one parent giving care and giving financial support at the same time. You're either going to give the care or you're going to give financial support. Single parents can't do both. And it's better if the mother and the father stick together so that continues. This is a very important principle. Even if we are facing difficulties in marriage, as much as possible, we should try to see if we can keep it together. If one of us, I can make a sacrifice, I can keep it together. It will be rewarding for me, the one who is sacrificing to keep it together. Now that doesn't mean that we live a life of hell, okay? That no matter what the problem is, I'm being hospitalized every couple of weeks because of the way this guy, who doesn't feel brave enough to treat a man like that, comes home and treats his wife like that. Now we say, no, we're supposed to still continue that. No, and Islam has got outlets for that as well. There's a court system, a mujtahid, that if such a thing arises and the husband is not willing to divorce, then there's a system to go through. A mujtahid looks at the situation. If he sees this is really the case, then he will divorce that wife on the authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. But as much as possible, whether it's the wife or the husband, try to sacrifice to keep it together. It will be rewarding in this world and in the hereafter. First element. Second very important principle that we'd like to emphasize on, we have before as well, and we're going to give some of the practical implications of it too later on, is that, look, when we're going to gradually get into the rights and responsibilities of the husband and the wife. Okay, very briefly, we're going to touch on some of them, give a general outline. One of the problems, again, that we have whenever we talk about rights and responsibilities, especially when it comes to husband and wife, it is that the husband wants to look at what rights he has and what responsibilities the wife has and keep pounding her with that and saying, oh, you have this responsibility, you're not doing your share, so on and so forth. And then the wife is trying to look at what responsibility he has, and he's not fulfilling it and trying to get on to him. All right. And what rights I have. okay, you're not going to let me go out of the house, then I have the right not to work. You got to bring a maid in, you know. I'm going to charge you monthly $2,000 a month for the work that I do at home. I take care of your kids. I change their diapers. I wash dishes. I wash clothes. I do this. I do that. Therefore, you're going to have to pay me. All right. This is a right that I have. And the husband wants to say, oh, you can't leave the house without me. I'm going to use that against you. I have this right. You got to listen to me. Why didn't you call me when you were going out? Why didn't you let me know? Text message, something. You have to let me know, and so on and so forth. We're going to get to those in a short while. But the first thing I want to say is that when we're talking about that, each party has got to look at their responsibility and make sure they're fulfilling their responsibility. It doesn't matter if my wife is fulfilling her responsibility or not. I got to make sure I am fulfilling my responsibility. Why? Very importantly, again, this is why we've tried to get this idea in us. We're treating our wives, our husbands, we're getting married, we are interacting with them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is going to lead to the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it will lead to. The goal in life has got to be that. So I'm looking at if God is pleased with me. Doesn't matter what she's doing. God's not going to look at what she's doing to judge me. He's going to look at what I'm doing. What did you do? Were your words harsh? Did your words cause something? That's something that we have to look at. Recite a salawat, please. Another principle that's very important, we got to keep in mind, and this is not only involving marriage. Okay, this is a serious issue, especially in the West. Sometimes even I've seen brothers have a problem with this. And that is, Western ideology is, at least in theory, telling us and emphasizing that there should be equality between the genders. Men and women are equal. Their rights and responsibilities should be equal. If they are different, then there's a problem. Okay, there is a problem. What Islam teaches us is that, very briefly, the value of a human being transcends gender. Whether we are male or female, in terms of being a better being, a better creation, that gender has nothing to do with that. We can be better or worse, regardless of gender. And all of us are given an initial value of being a human by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us are created as such. The value that God gives to the human being that we mentioned, this is the creation that can receive a blessing that no other being, no other creation can receive, that's shared by both genders. That is shared by both genders. He doesn't say that I have created men to worship me and get close to me, and I've created women for something else. Or, no, both genders are equal when it comes to that human value. All right? But at the same time, the verse that I recited to you, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ, he says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, it's a sign of Allah, that أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, from yourselves, and this is not addressing men, it's addressing people, all right? People, I've created from yourselves a partner, a pair, okay? If you look at, for example, sandals, all right, or shoes, you got two pairs. They're not the same. They're shaped differently. But you need the two of them to come together and fulfill the task. If you have scissors, there are two pairs. They come together and together they can cut. They're not equal. They have a certain dimension of equality, what they're made of. However, they're shaped differently. But together, they have a certain effect. He says that you are pairs. There is something that men have that women don't have. There are certain things that women have and men don't have. And by coming together, that's how that tranquility is going to be caused. We complete one another. All right? So Islam doesn't say absolute equality. Equality in value, in what we are worth. We are absolutely equal. Of course, that's the initial stage. Then after we are created, our value is based on what we do. You can be a woman and be much better than a man. You could be a man and be much, much better than a woman. It's not really related to gender. There are differences, though, in our emotions, in our bodies, in our thought process. There are differences. And this is what we need to note. The differences, the equality is there, but we need to make sure we realize there are differences. And the differences in our creation mean that there are going to be differences in our responsibilities. We got to get that straight. Another element. Third, or I'm not sure if that was the third or the fourth that I'm going to begin. On my list, at least, is the third. Very important for us to note, we briefly mentioned it, but a lot of times, what I have dealt with in speaking to communities in regards to marital issues, I've always found this approach towards Islam. Islam is accused of this. Islam isn't such, but Muslims many times we find do have this type of ideology. What is that? We think that Islam prefers men. Okay. We think that we need to talk about the ahadith that talk about women and women not doing her responsibilities. The scary hadiths. If she leaves the house and her husband is not pleased with her, he does not know about it, he does not want her to be out of the house right now, then the angels are going to curse her until she returns home. Well, there is such a hadith. But we enjoy reading those types of hadith. We say, you know, mention that. Yeah, Mulana, you know, you really need to get them on that. Okay. Or other ahadith that we have in regards to them, some of the ahadith, this is not something that is an obligation, inshallah, if we get time, which I'm looking at the clock and doesn't seem like we're going to be able to expand on certain things too much. We have hadith that says that one of the rights, there's a scary hadith, all right? I can't even read and translate all of it for you. I'll leave that for one of the brothers. Maybe some other time he'll come to your community and give you those scary but beautiful hadith. But part of that says, there's a woman asking the Holy Prophet of the responsibilities that a wife has towards her husband. One of the things that the Holy Prophet says there, according to that report, is that the wife needs to obey her husband. Okay, she needs to be obedient. The husband has this right over the wife that she obeys him. Okay, and after the Holy Prophet lists the responsibilities that the wife has towards her husband, the woman says, I swear to the God that made you the messenger, I will not marry a man. Okay, I'm not ready to have that. I'm not going to have any man have that authority over me. Okay. Sometimes, a lot of times, I think I've been told, and I feel it as soon as, you know, the ulama, sometimes also the speakers, they like to come and spend a lot of times discussing those matters and those ahadith. And it gives us the image that for some reason we think that Islam favors men and women have got to be subordinate to men. Recite a salawat, please. Thank you very much. And kind of guys get to do whatever they want. Right. Husbands get to do whatever they want. And you know, the women are just supposed to just listen, right? Why can't you learn that lesson? Just listen, right? Just follow through. What I want to say is that this is not right. Islam does not prefer men over women or women over men. That's not how it works. None of the responsibilities that have been given to a woman are because men are better and they're superior or they are favored. And none of the responsibilities that men have is because women are better or anything like that. These responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us are for the benefit of the individual, the family, and the larger society. It's favoring, when the responsibilities are there for the woman, it is favoring her. The responsibilities of the man are favoring him, and as well as the other party or the partner, and the society at large. So we need to get this out of our head, that God prefers one gender over the other. Prefers men over women. This is not right. So with those important principles, now I want to cover a couple of issues regarding the rights and responsibilities of the spouses. Remember the point we said, look, that love that God talks about, that needs to be there, and that's how a life is going to be a healthy one. There has to be love. There has to be affection. There has to be tranquility. If it's not there, then that is not going to continue. It will not. We need to have that element in there. But you can't expect that whatever you do, like this love is supposed to somehow exist. I want to treat him the way I want. Why doesn't he love me? Why doesn't he come home with roses anymore? At the beginning of the marriage, sometimes it starts very nice, you know? The guy is willing to do everything to see her. Okay. Travel long distances. I did. Travel long distances, go through headaches, go through difficulties, just to spend a couple of days with his wife. Okay. See her, buy loads of gifts. Oh, what is she going to like more? Okay. Try to figure that out. Try to get it, then you feel extremely disappointed when she doesn't like it as much, or you see it, God forbid, in the trash can later on. Okay, there are those disappointments as well. And a guy does have a heart and he has those feelings too, although they don't express it as much. At the beginning, that exists, but then later on, you know, what happened? Why doesn't that love continue? What we do is extremely important. God has created us, knows our potentials, knows what we are stronger at, knows our weaknesses, and based on that, He has told us, look, in that relationship, this is what you need to do as a man, this is what you need to do as a woman. All right. In regards to the responsibilities of the man, the man in a family has more responsibilities, all right? Not in terms of the quantity of the responsibilities, because when they count the responsibilities in number, there aren't too many. If you refer to the Risala, they say you need to provide a house, a shelter, a clothing and food. Like, that's it? Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's the only thing that they've written in the Risala. Of course, there's more to it. I need to explain a bit, but when you refer to the number of responsibilities that women have in a family, you see that there are two or three, depending on which risala you refer to, and we'll get to those. Not in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality, the responsibilities are very great. There are more responsibilities that he has. Where do we say this from? One thing is just looking at the reality. That one responsibility of providing shelter, clothing, and food is a heck of a lot of responsibility. It's not easy. And sisters, women, wives need to appreciate that. The amount, because let me put this in there as well. In Islam, women have zero financial responsibility in a family. Zero. If Western culture gives them responsibility, that's Western culture's problem. Okay. There is zero financial responsibility in a household for a wife. Okay. The man is the one that is responsible fully for all the finances. Okay. There's many, many different reasons for that. It doesn't ban women. Islam does not ban women from working, no, or learning or any of that. But in terms of holding them responsible, there's a difference between having a right and having a responsibility. The right to work is there in Islam for women. But the responsibility to work and provide is not there. There's no responsibility. There's no financial responsibility. But the husband is responsible. Because he is responsible, first of all, going out and dealing with all those people to bring food on the table. Okay. It's not easy. Then, because the responsibility falls on his shoulders, worrying about the bills, the well-being of the children, he's responsible for that. The well-being of the house, making sure the right food is there, the right clothing. Every time you go in, the kids are wanting something, the wife wants something. This has a burden on the husband, because the husband feels God has naturally made and given that responsibility as well in terms of the laws. But naturally, men feel responsible there. They're supposed to. Okay. So every time you ask for something or you say this is missing or the other is missing, you are basically every time you just like pounding him in the head. Every time you ask or you say something like that. Because that responsibility is a serious responsibility that this person has got to take care of. Every day they have to work so many hours a day. Then they have to make sure the children's schooling is there. They have to make sure the shelter is right. They need to make sure of everything. This is itself very time-consuming, very nerve-wracking at times. And that's one. The other thing which is very important that Islam says that men need to have is responsibility of guiding the family in the right direction. Okay. The responsibility. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. There is a responsibility that the husband has to make sure the family is moving in the right direction. What the person does is one thing, now that I'm emphasizing on this being a serious responsibility, and people need to appreciate that. Forget about what is done, just the worry. Okay. The worry, it's a burden that one has to feel, making sure everything is in check. What are my kids doing at school? And this is telling people to appreciate, and also at the same time telling the brother, this is a responsibility. We can't escape it. Sometimes, unfortunately, some of the brothers, some of the men like to escape responsibility. They don't like to have it. They don't like to take it. It's not our choice. It's our responsibility to make sure that is there. Of course, what that responsibility means, some people take this wrong. When we talk about having the responsibility of leading the family, generally speaking, I would like to say that the responsibility of guiding is usually misunderstood by people, not just in the context of marriage. When it comes to leading a society, leading a country, like one of the things that people say about wilayatul faqih, for instance. All right? Like, this is absolute power. This person can do whatever according to the ahadith and then the constitution that has been written up in the Islamic Republic. This is, the Ahlul Bayt had that, and they have given it to a faqih during the time of the occultation. But this does not mean freedom. This is what is misunderstood. This does not mean power alone. No, more important than that, this is a responsibility. They say when Ayatollah Khamenei was going to be appointed that session that they had after the demise of Imam Khomeini, they showed clips of it. I had heard this, but I hadn't seen the clips. They showed them recently, last couple of years, I think it was. A few people spoke in trying to say that Imam Khomeini believed that Ayatollah Khomeini is the only one that's qualified. He thought that he is supposed to go, although he didn't mention it anywhere, Imam Khomeini, meaning like making it officially the case. He didn't do that. But he mentioned to a couple of people unofficially that that was his personal view, not an official view, a personal view. And people were explaining that. And so everybody agreed, and nobody wanted, and nobody spoke against it. Then they asked, does anyone want to speak against this decision? There's only one person, and that was Ayatollah Khamenei himself. Okay. He got up to go there to speak against this. I don't want this responsibility. Okay. This is great responsibility. It's not power. It's responsibility. Okay. Sometimes the way this is understood, the responsibility of a husband in the house, is that I can do whatever I want, people need to follow. No. In Surah Al-Talaq, Allama Tabatabai has an interesting point that he makes. Surah Al-Talaq is a surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about divorce, obviously. Talaq means divorce. Many rules are mentioned in regards to talaq. Talaq is a situation where the relationship between the husband and wife is what? It's not as good as it used to be. It's not as sweet as it used to be. They want to break apart. They want to break up. Alright? Now, in this situation, the husband has the right to divorce. Correct? That's a right that has been given. But this surah that wants to talk about divorce, Allama Tabatabai says there's nowhere else in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ittaqullah. Be careful of God. Be careful of God. He keeps repeating that. He's given you certain authority, but with responsibility to use that authority in the right way. If you abuse that responsibility, that's the greatest sin you can commit. We read the hadith yesterday of the Imam saying that the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most concerned with, and the type of oppression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises most, is when women and children are oppressed. Okay. If that authority is used in the wrong way, that's a great sin. Okay. So this is a responsibility. It's not a right. But how we're going to implement that? Recite a salawat. Let me check the time. I'm not sure how. Yeah. Couple more minutes, we have Adhan. I guess we're going to have to leave it for tomorrow. I was planning on talking about something else tomorrow, but I'll wrap it up with this, that the first thing that we wanted to say in that relationship, after the very fundamental points that we very briefly talked about, we need to understand those fundamental points as well. They are principles in our way of thinking, which then manifest themselves in our actions. If we don't get our thinking straight, our actions are not going to straighten out either. That's why the pillars of belief are called the pillars of belief. If you have those pillars right, if you really believe in them, naturally you're going to manifest themselves. But if you have the wrong ideology, it's going to show itself in that wrong way. So after all of that, what we try to get to is that the husband has got more responsibility according to what Islam teaches us. And we talked about some of those responsibilities. We'll continue that tomorrow, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that he hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he helps us better ourselves, perfect ourselves, move towards him such that, inshallah, we're able to become the true soldiers, companions, and followers of our beloved Imam, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that he prolongs the life of and give good health to all of those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who've passed away. We ask him to forgive them all of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all believers of the sufferings that they are facing, illnesses, hajat that they have, that He grants them their hajat, their needs, their requirements, whether they are material or spiritual, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing, inshallah. Bin Nabiya wa alih rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.